You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Joining me today is, and you know when you hear that kind of music, that means it's somebody big and important coming on the program, the governor of the state of Texas, Mike Musselman. What's up?
Hey, Abbott's a great governor, so don't.
Yeah, you know what? He is a great governor. You know how he comes across? He comes across kind of like the way the guy in Florida came across. He's a sensible guy, serious guy.
Humble.
Genuine. Yeah, Rick Scott, you know, all the different things that he dealt with. The hurricanes and then the shootings at that high school. He always impressed me as he just came across as a leader, as a humble leader, not a verbose jackass.
Right. Now, is the camera on? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, hold on.
This is my good side. All right. Here I go. Ready?
Yeah. Could you get that? Could you get
me? Me. Yeah.
Makeup. Hello.
Yeah.
Can I get some pancake here?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hey,
what?
I finished watching the last second. 3 hours, dude. That last one was 3 hours. But I couldn't turn away. So you asked me yesterday.
What did we learn?
Yeah, you asked me yesterday, what did I learn from this? And I thought about this, and I wrote this down, and then I threw it away because it didn't make sense.
Well, go get it.
No, I was so tired. I was just rambling.
I like
anyway.
You, I like you more when you don't make sense.
Yeah, when I just ramble.
Yeah, which is most of the time. But
right, I'm like the drunk driver. I work best when I'm an intoxicated officer.
Thank you.
You know. The more I drink, the better I drive. Yeah, right. No. So I was watching this, and it was just kind of, it's sad to see that in politics, it doesn't matter what the truth is. The truth, you know you're a good politician is when you can hide the truth. You can layer the truth, keep the truth in the public eye, but put so much makeup on it and dress it up that it doesn't even look like it anymore. That we're not even talking about it anymore. You know, so we talk about the big deal, the whole story was lost because ultimately what it was about was Clinton perjured himself. That bottom line, that's what the truth was. Clinton perjured himself in the grand jury. He lied to the grand jury. Okay? Lie. But what they spun it on was sex. Monica Lewinsky was a tramp. Come on. You can't tell me that you, most men in the United States haven't had affairs. Come on. And then, you know, Larry Flint doing his $1 million challenge of trying to find a congressman that had extramarital affairs. You know, it got buried. The truth of perjury, you know, he perjured himself. So when they're talking to people out in town, you know, just regular voters, again, they're useful idiots, man, because no one cares about finding the truth. They listen. Oh, the person on TV that was dressed up told me this is what exactly happened. So that's exactly what happened. And you were fed this information. You know, we shun the media, but yet the media is in control of most of our lives. Not when I say our, I mean not mine, not yours, not people that know. You know? But the majority of people are controlled by the machine. You know? And it was just sad to see this thing go the way it did. One of the best parts of last night was the actual live when Bob Livingston stood up in front. And he gave his thing.
Who's Bob Livingston?
Bob Livingston was a congressman from Louisiana, and he was a big proponent for getting Clinton out. He's, you know, telling him, hey, you broke the law, man. I mean, you broke the trust and the confidence of the American people.
Was he a Democrat or Republican?
He was a Republican, so he was a target.
Right.
But he was, I would say he's the kind of guy that we need in office. He was kind of the middle ground. He could find good in every corner. So Bob gets up there, talks, and of course, when he said, what I ask is the president to resign his position. And then the whole Democratic Party there in the House is booing him. It sounds like it's the parliament, you know, the shenanigans that go on in parliament. And so they're booing him, and they're like, you resign. And this chant goes on, you resign, you resign. And Bob finishes his speech and says at the end of it, because Larry Flint found something on him. You know, it's found that he had an extramarital affair. But again, it wasn't about extramarital affairs. It wasn't about this. It was about cheating on your spouse. It was about perjury. And then right after that, he said, after his thing, he said, I'm not going to, I vacate my House seat and I'm resigning my position. And it was just like, you can hear a needle drop in that place. It was bone chilling quiet. Because now all these people are like, you resigned. Well, he did. And he said, you know, I'm showing you this is the example that's being set by a person of integrity. And it was like, whoa.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so the Democrats were scared that this was going to be like the wave, you know, like, wait a second. Whoa, a congressman? And then, of course, Clinton goes right on the news right after that and says, Bob, we're friends, and I ask you to please, you know, come back and don't do this. And, you know, because he doesn't. This looks bad for Clinton.
Right.
But he was such a master manipulator to spin this thing. You know, when Monica Lewinsky trial was going on, his approval ratings went up.
I know. How crazy is that?
How does that happen? Because they spin the truth. Right?
Right.
People on the street are being asked, what do you think of the president? Well, you know, I don't care what he does on his own time. I just want him to be a good president. This is the same verbiage that Trump supporters say, and they're being lambasted for. How could you be so naive, you stupid hillbilly? You know, that's what it's come down to.
So what's your conclusion in all of this?
My conclusion is people need to be more in touch of what the reality is and find the truth for themselves. Don't let people provide you the truth. You need to provide it for yourself. You need to find it, seek it, look for it. And then it's not 100%, but it's close enough. It's better than what you have right now, which is you have a biased platform giving you what they want you to believe.
And what you want and what you want to hear.
Yeah, right. And they're believing it.
Right.
And it's just really super sad. I just can't believe that we've turned into this.
Yeah, and again, the scary part that we've talked about is what changes it. And
nothing. That's the saddest part.
Right.
Nothing changes anything. Yeah, that's the worst part, man. That's the part that gets over it, is we cannot change it. And I know people are like, come on, yeah, you can't. No, you can't. We are so far, it's so far gone that, like I said, the rudder is gone. You know, and to fabricate the rudder, you're going to have to sink the boat. So, I mean, it's
normally
lose.
Yeah, like we were talking yesterday, normally the only way that fundamental reforms come to a nation are when, you know, again, and
something bad happens.
Yeah, and we've argued that we've digested September 11th. We've digested the fact that 20 congressmen could have been killed except for the shooter going in the wrong entrance. and that they had that baseball practice. And it's all digested, and it's business as usual. So it's going to take something magnitudes greater than both of those events. So, and then maybe it won't even change. Here's an email about Bob Livingston. I believe Livingston had recently been elected speaker after Newt Gingrich had stepped down and retired, a horn dog himself. Gingrich, as speaker, kept a pretty low profile during the impeachment process. Once they made it about adultery and not perjury. The other issue in the whole thing is the President of the United States preying on an intern. Now,
if it happened once, come on. I mean, you can't tell me that this was just a single act, you know, in that situation. No. No. He was a predator.
Yeah.
You know, he had predatory behavior.
Well, I mean, again, that's sexual harassment.
Today, different story. But
yeah, but again, using your office, right?
Right.
And, but you know, again, it's a pattern that he repeated, in much of his life, but he's never been held accountable. And now you have his wife who was asked within the last 60 days whether her husband owes Monica Lewinsky an apology. And she said, no, they were both consenting adults.
Right.
You're just like, what? Just go away, please, go away.
Yeah, how can you, you know?
That's great. It's icky. It's gross.
So, I mean, even when you look at all of the other women, you know, that just recently came to light when the campaign was going, because Trump brought them to, did they bring them to the inauguration?
No, didn't he have a press event with them?
He did, but then they were somewhere else.
Were they at the inauguration?
I want to say they were somewhere formal.
There was so many there were so many people at the inauguration, I can't remember.
Yeah, but then you have the same people. You have Hillary Clinton, who is running, say that women should be heard and be, you know, and their testimony be truthful and da 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 and supported and everything else. And people lashed out to her and were like, wait a second, you're the one that got on TV and called these women whores.
It's the craziest shit in the world, right?
But we forget all this stuff because the drum changes its beat. And yeah, it's like,
Doesn't matter.
What's that sound? Oh, I have to march differently
the
now.
The truth doesn't matter. It only matters, right, if it's the other side. The truth is relative to where you stand. There is no seeking the truth isn't important. And it is. Now, I was sitting here today. They were at the State of the Union. You're right. I was sitting here thinking today, do you think, okay, so the nation gets created. Uh-huh. George Washington decides whether he's going to seek re-election. And he says no, and he gives his famous speech about not seeking re-election and blah, 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 blah. And the peaceful transition of power. Do you think there were guys in the audience that day who said, okay, our Constitution says it's going to be elected by this. How do we make sure our guy, Adams, gets elected? Do you think they went down and they made sure that every state had enacted or the federal government had enacted voting laws that eliminated anybody who wasn't a landholder, thereby guaranteeing, you know what I mean? Do you think that as soon as Washington said that, like, okay, how do we fix this thing? How do we rig that? Do you think it's been that sick? I mean, since day one, that there's always these power hungry people that will translate. Oh, because if we get Adams in power, he'll approve that land buy that we want, right, outside of the District of Columbia, and then we'll parcel that up and then we'll become millionaires.
Right.
I bet they were there. And it's just, it's this element that lives in a capitalist world. You know, one other thing. In the 60s, during the Vietnam era, 75% of Congress was veterans. When the next Congress convenes, it'll be less than 18%. Now, I don't know that veterans are any more virtuous or better. I do know, though, that they've served. And I think at the end of the day, they're more willing to put the country before their party. And I think that's another crisis that we have, that the people going to Washington, D.C. believe that what they see on Fox and CNN, they believe that's a real world. That's a world that they have to work in. And it's bad. It's bad. Like, if that's what you think is the real world because you haven't served and been around, then your vision of what the United States is so skewed. I said again, you know, these fires in California, what have you seen? You've seen people donating food, people sheltering people, people donating money, people donating blankets and portable housing and things like that. All you see is the goodness of America. Right? Somebody sent me an email that said the NFL and ESPN honored first responders during the Monday night game and were trying to raise money for all you see is the goodness of America. But there's this incredible disconnect. And I even thought about this. The woman that was going to challenge Nancy Pelosi is a black congressman. She just got elected for her sixth term. You know, what would it be like to have, you know, all these old fogies out of there and people that said, let's roll up our sleeves and let's make deals and let's push the ball down the road?
Right, yeah.
I don't know. I think the world is not well served by this entrenched shit we see in Washington, D.C., but that is the game. So, I don't know. And are we being naive by saying, well, if Nancy Pelosi gets thrown out, then the next person will be better? The next person is going to serve us the same, you know, tasks, the same money. Will they be different? Maybe that's just us being stupid. So would you recommend that people watch this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It's tough to watch because if you're the person like me, you listen, you watch this and you go, what is wrong? Why aren't they seeing this the way they, and then you see it go off the rails and you're like, no, it's perjury. What are they talking about sex for? That has nothing to do with it. You know, Monica Lewinsky was a oversexed 24-year-old college student that just got into the White House that she wanted to make her name for herself. She was getting her, as she was quoted, not quoted because it was a lie, but, you know, she said, I guess when she first got there, I can't wait to get my presidential knee pads. Like, no one said that, but that's the media. Doesn't matter. It's out there. You know, now it's your job to go and find that you didn't say it. It's in type. It's in the print. You know, and you can't sue them. You know, because they have those so many outs. And then if you win, you get the retraction. It doesn't matter. It's already out there.
Right. Yeah, and
that's the stupid thing about it.
No. That's
okay, we'll retract what we say. No, the damage has already been done.
And that's the problem when you exist where a media, where the truth doesn't matter. And I said, you know, there's a story in Marine Corps Times today, Mike, and that's amazing, right? Written by two quote-unquote reporters, and they go from straight-up reporting to then editorializing.
Mm-hmm.
And you read it, and you're like, did I just read that? You know, here's the headline is, here's why Marines in Afghanistan abruptly shut down their social media account. So going on the third iteration, guys we know have been there. So Ben Watson, I think, and Roger Turner have both led that mission, guys we know. And so I'll read you two paragraphs real quick. Task Force Southwest social media accounts have been helpful in disseminating information and updates about the progress and mission of the Marines in Helmand as they continue to rebuild and advise Afghan security forces in the volatile province. And now this. The sudden removal of the accounts calls into question transparency concerns regarding the Corps' combat mission overseas. What?
Huh?
Yeah, wait a minute. That's an opinion. Okay? While Task Force Southwest Twitter account is still active, the account hasn't posted anything. That sentence is a reporter's opinion, and it appears in the story, and you're reading it, and you're like, wait a minute, that's not a fact. And this line gets blurred all the time, and it's And then, but most people don't pay attention to it. I think like you and I do because we talk about it on a frequent basis. They just read it and they're like, oh yeah, you know, not being transparent. Look, the DOD is so transparent. It's a joke.
Right.
It's an absolute joke. And now because they don't have as much access as they want, you know, they're like, now there's a lack of transparency. Good God, man. Go away. Here's an email question. How are you both spending Thanksgiving? I'm thankful that you guys do this program. I've learned a ton since I started listening about 5 months ago. And in particular, it's really exciting when I have an experience similar to you two, when I touch somebody's life by preaching the gospel of post-traumatic winning. Thank you both for making us smart about this really, really important subject. And on a personal note, thank you for the high that I get when I change somebody's life. It is the best. Mac, you and Mike do a great job with it. Really appreciate what you guys do. Happy Thanksgiving. Again, how are you guys spending the day? How are you going to spend the day, Mike?
We're heading over to Buck and Mouse.
Buck, how's Buck?
Good. He's been busy, man. He's got to slow down because he's getting too good. Some of the stuff. I'll send you a picture recently. He does the tooling and the leather now.
Right.
And it is, man, it's crazy how good that looks.
I learned to sew when I was a kid, and then I used sewing machines to sew jerseys and stuff when my kids started playing hockey, and it was too expensive to have them done, so we ordered the numbers and names, and we sewed them on. And so I learned to use a sewing machine. So when I was at Buck's, when I was in Granbury with Mike, Buck's got these machines that sew leather. Man, they're really cool.
If you're a sewing kind of person, it's cool.
Yeah, if you see, I mean, like just the machine that sews leather, holy shit, man. It was cool. Well, no, I mean, I'm glad to hear he's busy because I thought he was pissed at me because I never hear from him anymore.
He's busy. I mean, he really is. He's busy.
So you'll go over to Buck and Melanie?
Yeah, Mel, his wife.
All right, that's good. And you know what? I was going up to my uncle's, but he is in the he went in the hospital today. Ooh. And yeah, my cousin lives in Pasadena, up in the mountains, Mike, up there on the northern edge of Los Angeles. It's absolutely beautiful, man. Absolutely beautiful. Pasadena, if you don't know, is old Los Angeles money, and it's up in the foothills to the mountains that kind of they run from Malibu, those mountains, and they keep going along the kind of the north edge of Los Angeles. They form the northern edge of the Riverside Basin and all that. But man, Pasadena is a lot of money and a beautiful place, but we're going to go have Thanksgiving up there. But I just found out this morning he went in the hospital, so I don't know. Yeah. We're going to go to Plan B, see what that is.
Hey, Peyton Davis just sent that post out.
What'd she say?
She said, "What am I thankful for this year? Becoming a part of the All Marine Radio Tribe."
Nice.
My face says it all. There's a little clip video. Thank you for having me on the show today. We're not meant to do life alone. We're just not, and this is a community created for those of us learning to coexist with our trauma. So, yeah, that was nice.
You know what? She came on today. She was on my shit list. Rudy told me that.
No, Rudy was probably on your shit list. She was just probably.
No. Well, he gets on it sometimes, but he gets on it a lot. Okay, Rudy's got a little bit of a temper. He's like a little Marty McFly Jr. dude rolling around with his temper. But
yeah,
he told me that he had talked to her and that, you know, she had told him that she was frustrated with, you know, she lost her dad to suicide, but nobody ever asked, like, people talk about their families, but they won't ask her about, like, if they talked about their dads. She said, so it's almost like you keep losing them. I said, well, tell her I want to have her on the show and she can tell us, like, what should we say? And he said, okay. Crickets, never heard from her. Well, she was struggling with some shit, right? So I finally said, look, just so you know, you're officially on my shit list. So she came on today and she gave advice about you know, what to say. Because I said, you know, people don't say anything, not because they're not interested, but they don't want to cause any more pain. She said, no, I know that. She said, but you can ask, just ask, what was he or she like? And from that question, the conversation will, but don't be afraid of it. And if they don't want to talk, she said, but it just feels so bad when people are talking about their parents, and then I know they don't ask me intentionally because of what happened, and I just want to be included. I don't want to feel like I'm losing them again. Mm-hmm. And so I was telling her, I said, you know, I asked her, well, what are you most thankful for this year? And she said, being part of this tribe is one of the things. And I told her, I said, you know, that is one of my favorite moments, because we're part of it. Mike and I, we belong to it. We have great friends. And when she came on and I said to her, you know, you're part of this tribe. And she said, I am. And I said, yeah, you're his niece, right? She said, yes. I said, then we own you, right? You're a part of it, right? So anything you need, all you have to do. And then she said, and this is the part that is very cool. And this is the part Mike and I talk about touching people's lives and changing them. She said, you can't see this, but I just got the biggest smile on my face. And so, but, you know, Peyton's got because of her career in music, I told her, you've got an opportunity to change a lot of people's lives by the way, what you write, what you sing, when you perform, the things you talk about between songs. You know, all that changes right. lives. I mean, what you said today will change lives. And so very cool. She's an awesome young girl, but like everybody, struggles. And I said, you know, when you struggle, say something. I'm struggling. You don't have to say much, because doing it by yourself is a bad way. She said, I know I fought it, but I said, and you get on the shit list, so you don't want that. But very, very cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
So.
But Rudy is moody, though.
Well, he's got a bad temper, man.
Rudy with a temper?
Yeah. Wow. No, I know him. I know him. Like one of my kids. I yoke his shit up on a regular basis. He'll call me. Listen to this, Mike. He was flaming like 3 weeks ago. He's like, he calls me. Doesn't even say hi. I'm so pissed. I'm like, about what? I just got my prescription filled at the hospital at Camp Pendleton. I'm in line, right? This corpsman doesn't call me sir and then told me to get back in line.
No, he did not say that.
I'm swearing to God.
You're making that up.
So then I got in line, and then there was nobody else in line, so I walked to the front, and then the next number up was his number, and I walked over and I handed him my ID again, and he says, hey, how you doing? I said, all right, so let me get this straight. A corpsman wasn't respectful enough of you as a retiree, and you're flaming. He says, yes. I said, okay. I'm not sure what's wrong with you today.
But that sounds like you had something going on with his lady parts or something. I mean,
you've got to be
take some medication or something. Me. What the hell?
And I said, don't ever call me again like this, okay? This is the stupidest shit I've ever heard. He's like, whoa. But yeah, he's Marty McFly. That should be his new call sign, Marty. Because, you know, Marty McFly, the thing that got him into all those problems, you know, are people calling him a chicken. What are you, chicken kid? What?
Right.
Nobody calls me chicken, Biff.
I'll show you.
So it's a great series of movies. But, yeah, that's how Rudy is. He clicks off safe, and he flips out. And then I have to. Then I get pissed. I'm like, what are you doing, man? So anyway, what are you doing?
That's crazy.
No, I know. I know.
I mean, you know, when you say you know, but I mean, do you really know him? No, you don't know anybody. And that's the other thing, too.
I don't know about that. You know people in varied degrees. But I agree with him. You don't, unless you live with them, you don't know.
I don't put up with that stuff, though. That's probably why I don't see it. I just, if he ever did that around me, it'd be like, yeah.
You just make fun of him.
Well, you know
you're,
me.
You're stupid.
If you come to the party like, you know, pissy and moaning, oh, dude, I'm going to have so much fun with you.
You're going to get shit on. But yeah. it's going to be funny. And that's what I did. So
what? Yeah.
Let me get this straight. a corpsman wasn't respectful enough of a military retiree? Come on, man. What did you fall on your head? Like, what is going on? And so the here's another email. You mean the gunner, being the foodie that he is not cooking on Thanksgiving? I find that hard to believe.
No.
You're not cooking?
No. Not on Thanksgiving. I'm picking up. Well, because it's so much work. I like doing it, but it's just so much work, you know. And right now, I just like doing it sporadically and spontaneously. So keep it a surprise. But no, so I'm picking up the ham today.
You're picking up
spiral the ham. Cut, honey glaze.
What's a spiral cut? I don't even know.
That's when it's cut like small, like they literally looks like they put it on a spiral cutter and it's got small lines cut all the way through it. So all you gotta do is cut along the bone and then the equal slice comes out. Right? What I really like about it is all of that flavor glaze seeps down in those cracks.
The glaze is the best.
Oh, man. Especially like the chunks of it on top, yes. Like flake off.
Yes.
Yeah, those are the best. But, yeah. So then we're going to make split pea ham afterwards.
One of my favorites, man.
Mm-hmm.
That is so good.
So, yeah. And actually, the other half, she said, did you pick up the ham yet? And I said, no, I'm picking up today after the show. She's like, what show? And I'm like, the podcast. She's like, you know, just in one of those moods. And
like, what
so
show?
Then she's like, I'll get it.
Oh.
I'll pick it up. How big did you order? I'm like, so I wanted to respond back, like, why does it matter? Just go in there and pick it up. You'll see how big it is when they hand it to you.
But it's Thanksgiving. And you're being a good person.
Yeah, so I said 1 pound. So I hear nothing back. So she knows.
That's
sometimes when you ask crazy questions, you get crazy answers.
Oh, my God.
Because we could have went into the whole, why does it matter? And then it would, you know, because then I was, that's me. Because I like to do that sometimes. Instead of just answering it, I like to be the pain in the ass and go, well, why does it really matter what I tell, you know. Like, you could have already answered it. I know, but for the principle of the whole argument is I want to understand why you're asking me. And they're like, finally, they just forget it.
Well,
and then you answer them.
You gave a good clue, though. When you say 1 pound, the next question they have is, okay, do I want to, am I in the mood to do this right now? Sometimes
yeah.
You are.
Sometimes you are, you know, let's play with the beehive and see how many bees are in it.
Let's do this. Let's burn it down a little bit. I got nothing to do. The, okay, let me give you, I want your philosophy about experiments on Thanksgiving. Are you pro-experiments or anti-experiments?
Thanksgiving?
Yes, on Thanksgiving.
No, don't ever experiment on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Don't ever. That is like, no, not Thanksgiving. Don't try something new. Unless you got to do it way before and rehearse. Because there's no coming back from that.
Yeah, when I show up to eat, there's certain tastes that I expect.
Yeah. I mean, Boston Market is not open, I don't think, on Thanksgiving. You're not going out and repairing the damage.
You're not. So relative to experiments, and I think the chef, I think he kind of got it right when he said, look, if you want to do some new stuff, And have it out there in addition to, but you got to have the staples, and you don't supplant a staple for an experiment on Thanksgiving. Do it some other time of the year. I think that's spot on. I think that's
right.
I think that's good advice. What's your favorite thing to eat on Thanksgiving? Do you have, of all the things that are on the table, do you have a favorite thing that is on the table that you look forward to the most?
No, not really. Ham.
I can't believe you say that. Ham kills me.
I like ham.
I
don't eat it a lot, but I like it.
I'm a turkey guy.
I know you are.
I love turkey with a little bit of gravy gravy. I love a little bit of gel right out of the can, whatever, Ocean Spray, that shit. I love that with a little bit of turkey mashed potato gravy and a little stuffing and some cranberry. That taste, yeah. I'll eat it and then curl up in the fetal position, go to sleep. Yeah. He's happy.
Yeah, my problem is I don't want to eat too much.
Really? A lot of people commit to overeating. Now, do you start at 1 o'clock and then have another meal later on at night, or are you an evening? Evening?
I'll eat light. I eat light, and then I'll eat all night. I'll just, like, nibble on it. I don't, like, do the big, massive plate and just, like, polish, you know, and then do that, like a Luke McConnell plate. I don't do a Luke McConnell plate.
Did you eat with us in Afghanistan that year? When we have a picture.
Yeah, I have a picture. Yeah, right.
Are you in that picture? You should have been. But
the one that we were around the turkey that was.
No, it's us all at the table. Rudy, me, Luke.
Oh, I wasn't there then. I think I was up with 3-6.
Okay.
I was eating with Kyle Ellison's guys.
But Luke, our Napa man, he gets giddy, like, on big food days. Like it's almost like a girl on her wedding day.
Or like her 16th birthday, She's like,
just geeked, glowing, like, why are you so happy? Like, today's the day devoted to eating.
Right.
And honestly, there's something different about him. And you're...
Well, because you won't be shunned by eating. I mean, that's like you expect to eat a lot. It's expected. So for him, that is like, it's like a holiday.
Oh, my God. It's like...
It is. It falls on a holiday.
It's like the best holiday. Yeah. Yeah. And so...
Yeah.
But and the other thing he does is he describes eating and food like nobody I've ever met. And so so it's
you can see, I mean, you would think that he grew up starving.
Yeah, he did.
Like, no food in his family.
I was talking earlier. He sent me an email after he left and came home. And we were still in Afghanistan, and he had, I think, barbecue beef for dinner, and then he and his wife walked, to her parents' house, and then he had a bowl of cereal with whole milk, right?
Yeah.
And he described in detail in the email how good the cereal tasted, how he poured it, how great whole milk tastes with cereal. And I read it to everybody, and I laughed my ass off. Like, who writes about food like this? You know? Somebody.
Yeah, people that eat a lot of it.
Somebody who loves it. Somebody who loves it. But yeah, he was giddy that day. And we went over, you know, and I will say this, all around the world this will happen, to include our border this year. But, you know, the DOD does its best to make Thanksgiving livable, right? It can never be like your home. But every place.
They do a pretty good job.
They try their ass off to get Marines and soldiers and wherever you are, sailors around the world, they're always pretty well taken care of, but everybody who's in an expeditionary mode, they do a pretty good job of getting that, pushing that food out to them. So just a thought. Here's another email. Is Thanksgiving a multi-day event for either one of you? It is for my family. We go from one meal on Thursday to another meal on Friday to another meal on Saturday, football and leftovers, and we throw a ham in there, and then on Sunday we finish it all up with prime rib. It is certainly not for the small eaters, that's for sure. Thanksgiving a one-day event for you, Mike? It is for me.
Well, I do eat the next day and the next day and the next day, but No, it's a one day, gone and next. It's just, it's okay. Like I said, holidays, are okay.
Uh-oh, what does that mean?
It's like, well, every day's a holiday. They're okay. And like I say, it's just some, in the past, we've been burned with drama in holidays. So it's like, I don't look forward to them because then you get the, hey, how come I wasn't invited? Because we didn't call you and invite you. That's, can't you answer that yourself? I mean, why are you asking me? You get that stupid question. Oh, so I see I wasn't invited. Yes. Why wasn't I invited?
Because you get drunk and you start fighting.
Because you didn't get the phone call saying, come on over. I mean, what are you talking about? I didn't want to hear how horrible your life is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then they look at you with the, what do I do? What do you mean? What do I do? I don't know what to do. I'm so lost in this. And it's like, what? Nothing is, just move on. Quit. I can't do that. And then you get dragged into that, I'm not that way. My God. Good God.
Exactly. Who needs it, right? I've always loved my family, like Mike's has always been full of drama. And so, you were cautious when there were large gatherings. My extended family was awesome. It was just my immediate family. So, getting together with everybody was great. But there was always a fallout later in the night after people had been drinking and things like that. You're just like, all right, I got to get out of here. But my own family, right, the family that Susan and I raised, our four kids, we always had the best, funnest days, being together, what we're thankful for, going around the table and saying what you're thankful for this year, was always the coolest. And so it was, and it still is, even though we're scattered across the country. Two boys will be back in Northern Virginia, and then everybody else out here. It's still a cool day for us as a family. And when we lived in North Dakota, it'd be snowing out or whatnot. And it was just cool. I miss living up there. On occasion, I miss the snow.
What?
Yeah.
Go visit it.
I did.
Okay.
I don't want it too cold. I don't like it. I want it like Minneapolis cold.
And then as soon as you're up there, you're like, I can't wait to get out of here.
Right, Mike, you got all your different clothes, right? You got heavy coats and gloves and hats and stuff like that when it gets cold. It's just, I didn't mind it that much living up there. I did not mind it. What I didn't like was in the spring. You normally get a tease in February, March, and then you go back into the deep freezer. And that's what I didn't like. It's like, okay, enough already. Get this shit out of here. I'm sick of it. It's too cold for too long. Let's go. Let's get spring here. So that's what I didn't like about it when winter drags in the spring. Did not care for that.
I don't miss the winter at all.
Really? I do. I liked it. Another email. My favorite part of the meal is the gravy. I'll dip anything in that gravy. And I just want to say, Mac, I agree with you. When Peyton Davis said her favorite part of Thanksgiving was Brussels sprouts, I almost drove my car into a ditch. If that is not a hillbilly, I don't care how pretty her voice is, I don't know what is. Hillbilly.
I like Brussels sprouts.
She said it was her favorite part of the Thanksgiving meal. I said, what?
If they're done right, they're pretty dang good, man. They're like French fries. You just can't stop eating them. Seriously, they're good.
If they're
done right.
I ate them for the first time a month ago.
And?
They were good.
Yeah.
They were not knocking.
I can't stop eating them.
They were not knocking turkey and dressing off the list of things I like most about Thanksgiving. But I had never had them prepared right, I don't think. And my daughter-in-law, Susie, who's a great cook, they were awesome. I looked at her and I was like, oh. To me, it's kind of like okra. I've not had too many good experiences with okra.
Well, the okra, to make okra good, you have to deep fry it.
And most people don't prepare it like that. And so it sucks.
Right.
It's
and so, yeah, and then you don't have it like that. But Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts. Yeah, that's what she said. My favorite part of Thanksgiving is Brussels sprouts.
My favorite part is, to tell you the truth, is pumpkin pie.
Really?
With that dab of cool, you know, the Cool Whip on there, or?
Yes, whatever. Cream. Whipped cream.
And, you know, I'll tell you, my daughter cooks she makes a mean pumpkin pie. I mean, it's pretty dang good.
Partly cloudy and 57 in
Granbury. Pretty good.
57 in Granbury. Yeah. It's warming up in Granbury. Is it going to be warm for Thanksgiving or what?
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, it's really nice. So I'm looking at a picture right here. This is Christmas. Okay, so I wasn't there for Thanksgiving. I was out 3-6. I know I was. But then I have a picture of Christmas. We're all standing around that tree with all the presents.
We had a Christmas party.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all in a tent.
Secret Santas.
Yeah, telling. You know what? I'll tell you what. You look back on it with incredible. It's a great memory. Because you're not all together very often because everybody's working and doing shit. And so it's very very few times when you're together, especially laughing. And I think it was our operations staff put together a Christmas party, and they found a bunch of surplus shit, and they gave people presents and funny stuff, and like extra socks, utilities. Here's a battery, you know, the stuff that was available, and so it was cool. But it was the funny stuff that went on while we were doing that actually creates the memory and the great pictures that came out of that night in some kind of tent wherever the hell we were. So yeah, that was fun. That was fun. We had a Christmas tree in our hooch, and we used it the whole rest of the deployment because it was a great nightlight, so nobody ever had to turn the lights on. Christmas tree at the end of the hallway, leave it on, and we all put ornaments on it, wrote our families, our kids' names and stuff on it, and they hung our Christmas tree that stayed up for the next 9 months before we left. So, very cool. Cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So cool stuff. 3-6 was Kyle Ellison. And they were down in
Marcia. In southern part of Marcia. They were in the 11 blocks.
The
11
I just had a bad memory come back. There was like a truce for 2 days, or at least, you know, a declared truce. And then we had a bad thing happen. Not even before the truce. Yeah, that we had a
medevac
We had a squad that was going out to swap out with another squad, and they weren't using a CMD, and they were walking down a road, and somebody
blew up.
Yeah, literally.
We had to get divers to recover the remains in the canal.
Yeah, had to shut down the canal.
And it took 3 days to get all of him gathered up.
It was horrible. You know, it reminds me of in 2004. I remember. We lost 2 Marines on Thanksgiving Day, you know, and I just thought, there's some family that's getting together to celebrate Thanksgiving, and there's an electronic thunderbolt that will change their life forever that's on their way.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't know it. They're living the last peaceful moments they'll ever live.
Yeah, we tried real hard. I mean, we made notifications when, like holidays, Christmas being a big one, Easter, Thanksgiving. No combat operations.
Right.
Because, you know, we didn't want, you know, Christmas morning, kids are at the Christmas tree, and then they hit on the door, and there's a uniform guy and a chaplain saying, we're here to regret to inform you that you, you know, it's like, oh, Merry Christmas. Yeah, yeah. So we always made it a point, no combat operations on holidays.
Yeah, ops minimize.
But I remember that they were just going from one place. It was a combat op. They were moving from one place to another, a very short distance. But that pissed me off, because I was up there when that, you know, we had to go up there, is when we found out on his assault pack strapped to the side of it, the lead guy's CMD, the metal detector, and he stepped on a pressure cooker, high metallic object, that thing would have just been singing like a canary, but it was strapped to his pack. And the frustration you have is like, that's what we talked about before was, you know, and Dave said it before is, you know, some of those guys didn't have to die. They didn't have to die.
The most frustrating part of all of it. And that's what, when you
look at it and you tear it apart, because that was part of my job, is to figure out, was the enemy good or we were just complacent? And some of the, you know, what was it, 19 cases
19.
Out of the guys.
19.
Those guys didn't have to die.
19 the last 30 that we had.
And those,
we had killed.
That's what led to that's what led to the compound, the IED training compound that we would piss off the secret squirrels from all the explosions every day. The quarter stick of TNTs. But was to train them, so again, over and over and over and over and over again, you know.
And that's where the discipline comes in, of doing it the right way, doing it that way every time, and don't deviate from it, because if you don't, you know, somebody may pay for it with their life. And it's just, it's heartbreaking, and, you know, you hope the family never finds out the truth that, you know, that he shouldn't be dead, you know.
To be disciplined is hard.
Yeah, it's inconvenient. It's hard.
It's very hard.
It's hard because in their minds, hey, I want to get there in a hurry. You know, we want to let them get back. But, you know, taking shortcuts, you know, the bad guys watch. And that's what, well, you know, so, if you can imagine yourself, you know, in Mike's shoes or in my shoes, because I would see if Mike was out, I would get the post-blast analysis probably before he got them, and then I would ping him on it. But, you know, you all of a sudden you're reading or you're talking to somebody and they say, hey, we recovered this. And, you know, your question is, well, were they sweeping? And the answer is no. And you're just
where's the CMDs?
You're just fuck. And, you know, it's I don't know, how would you describe it? This soul-wrenching anguish of these brave, incredible young men and women who are doing multiple combat deployments, and now they're dead, and they don't have to be dead. And it's just so frustrating.
Well, people that relate to this, if you're watching a baseball game, and there's a really good batter in the box, and he's up against somebody that he knows he can hit against, right? Mm-hmm. He's batting .350 against this guy. But then he makes that stupid mistake and swings on a pitch he never should have swung. He goes back into the dugout, and what does he do? Takes his helmet off and chucks it against the wall, right? Or swipe. That was me all the time. When I get this and I hear this information and I'd be out there, I was always known for just taking my helmet and just smacking it on the ground. You know, like, son of a... Because it just gets so, like, where's the CMD? You're like, God, you know, I just want to come across there, choke this kid. You're like, what the... But, you know, you don't want to add to the trauma more and, you know, make him feel bad. But it's just, okay. You know, and sometimes when you call it out, you know, there was a lot of times I didn't make a lot of friends when I showed up, because, you know, you just gotta say it what it is. People don't like that sometimes, but that's what, I don't care. It's what my job was.
Yeah. Big boy rules applied though over there when we were playing, you know, and then out of, and I've told the story before, but out of this grew this thing I would do when units would come over and they would go through, what do we call that, Mike? RSOI.
RSOI. Reception, staging, and
Yeah, they're getting ready to go out in the battle space. They've done all their CONUS training. They deployed. They got all the shit. Now they're doing the kind of the finishing training before they push out to the AOs and start doing left seat, right seat, and then take over the battle space. And one of the last things that they would do is General Furness, now General Furness at the time, Colonel Furness. He said, "Hey, Mac, take these things, and that." Mike and I would get them from the EOD guys, and then I'd compile notes that Mike would give me and go down and just go through this slide deck of where we're losing Marines. And, yeah. and you would start it, and they're sitting there watching, and you guys are talking. After about the fifth or sixth one, as you said before, dead silence. Dead silence. And after about the 15th, you can tell that they're like, make it stop. And you had already talked to the CO and the sergeant major and said, "Hey, this is going to, I'm going to get through all of it. And at the end, I'm not going to say a whole lot. I'll turn it over to you guys." And, and at the end, you just say, "Hey, look, discipline, right? Being disciplined, being hard to kill, doing the things you've been taught will all help
every minute of every day."
Yeah.
Until you leave.
And it's hard. And you think you go home. I mean, stupid shit like, "Hey, we're going to bring this gator because all this shit that we have to take down there is too heavy. So this one time we're going to take this gator and load it up, even though we know we're not supposed to take it with us." Thing hits an ID and people get killed. And you're just like, "What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing?" But it's maddening. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And then to make things even worse, so it's a holiday, and then you want to go to church, and then the chaplain's an asshole. It's like, come on, somebody make it stop. Make it stop. But that's why you need good friends. That's why you need good friends that you can go hang out with and talk and have dinner with and all that.
Keep surrounding yourself to shallow, insincere friends, and then you'll
feel good about
live
yourself.
That life too.
Yeah, you can feel good about yourself. And be pissed off a lot. So anyway.
Hey, I met up with a buddy of mine. He listens to the show now. He's a former Marine. He's a Fort Worth police officer, Sean Harris. And he was listening to the show yesterday when we were talking about the PFT challenge. So him and his wife were in town real quick because he lives just on the other side of town from me. We live in the same county. I ran down there just to drop some stuff off with them, and then we just started talking, shooting shit, talking shop a little bit. And then it was funny, man. There was a guy behind us listening to us, and all of a sudden he pops in. He's like, "Hey, I was listening to your conversation. Sorry, but former Marine myself." And so this guy was an air winger, though. Close. Right. I mean, we'll give it to him.
Yeah.
Cherry Point, retired, staff sergeant, medically discharged because of some injuries he received. But he was a funny guy. I mean, Harrier guy, avionics guy.
That's barely in the Marine Corps, right?
I know, but we give it.
But yeah, when you're in a room of other services, you're in. You might as well be a grunt.
But if it's just Marines, you're going to get the brunt, man.
And you know it. They know it, yeah. Too. That's the best part.
I know. So Sean was listening to that, and he laughed about it. He goes, "So what are you doing the PFT?" And I started laughing. I said, "You listening?" He goes, "Oh yeah, I listen to that one." Because, dude, that's insane.
I was still laughing about the duck walk and running around.
I practiced it yesterday when we got off.
That's not easy.
Woo! Man, I got to do some stretching on that one.
Yeah. No, what Mike and I were talking about is we were talking on Monday, I think, about when did the PFT come into existence. So did a search and found the Marine Corps order and then went through the events, which are most of them are bullshit. They're pass-fail. So you get marked S for satisfactory, U for unsat. Like, you had to do 3 pull-ups.
Right.
You had to do 15 sit-ups in 2 minutes or something like that. But in the midst of all that, you had to duck walk 50 yards in a certain amount of time. Like, that's legit.
Try it. If you don't do it. I did it last night. I just duck walked around the house and I got up. And then when I was standing up, it was like, ooh.
I need a drink. I need a drink and a smoke to get straight.
Yeah. Well, I don't smoke, but yeah.
Yeah. So if you go to I think I hung that on the website. It might be in the actual post itself. So if you want to read something humorous, this is no kidding, humorous.
Yeah, it's the Marine Corps Order.
Yeah, it's the Marine Corps Order on physical fitness.
61.3 or something, or 61.3 Juliet.
Yeah, it says Mike and Mike, Lincoln's best speech, A&E's The Clinton Affair, and the events and standards of the first USMC physical readiness test in 1956. If you click on that, there's a link that I put in there. Yeah, there's a link in there that takes you to the actual Marine Corps Order. And go ahead and read that and have some fun with it because it's hilarious. And the generals, they exempted themselves from it. Yeah, everybody else got to take that son of a bitch. Not us, though. Give me a cigar and another glass of whiskey there, Thurston.
Yeah.
What a joke.
Hey, I came across a video, and I forgot who it is. Yeah. It was when I was coming back with a, doesn't look like a sergeant major. Dude, it is so funny.
What's funny?
Because, so, for people, when you're in an MRAP, you know, those are the big armored vehicles.
Yeah.
And you've been out there for a long time and you're tired. Oh, it's Rudy.
What?
Yeah, it's Rudy. I'm pretty sure this is Rudy.
Rudy in an MRAP?
Yeah. Well, we were coming back from somewhere, like a meeting or something, and Rudy went out for it.
Right.
I'm trying to get this thing up. So anyway, when you're in these MRAPs and you've been out all day and your stuff, they get warm inside and you've been eating, you get tired. I mean, it just keeps compiling and piling, compiling. And you start falling asleep. Right? And where is, why can't I screen share today?
I don't know. Why can't you?
Well, because I don't have the little. Where?
Mike is the expert screen share.
Yeah, but I can't screen share right now. I don't know what's going on.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
Usually, like, the little box comes up. But I'm pretty sure it is Rudy. Let me, and he's doing the head bob.
Oh,
because it's a major.
When you're sleeping?
Yeah, he's just like.
The way I would describe it for people is that you're so exhausted, right? And but yeah, I mean, every day you work, right? You work, you know, I don't know what, 14, 16 hours a day or more, whatever you have to work, you work. And you go to sleep and you get up and you do it again. And there's no days off. There's no weekends. You work 7 days a week the whole time you're there. So, you know how when your kids are little, they can fall asleep in these crazy positions? Right? Their head's totally tweaked. That's what we're talking about. I remember seeing the current chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We were headed out to Al Asad once, and he was in the back of a Humvee. He and I were in the back seats of a Humvee, and he was like bent over. The chest strap had been fastened on a seatbelt, and he was head bobbing, but it's like about 120 inside the vehicle. It's hotter than shit in the vehicle. And he's dripping sweat like you can't believe. He's dripping sweat like a fat man running a marathon. I mean, it's incredible. And I'm looking over him, and I'm like, he's got to wake up, right? He's got to wake up. And he didn't. And he just head bobbed. Oh, my God.
Okay, I just found the screen share. So,
it's
either Rudy or Metro, but it's one of our arrows. And I just came across it, and I was laughing so hard, man. Oh, my God. Because it's perfect. It's like the head is, and you can hear the vehicle. You're not going to hear any sound, but you can hear the vehicle running and everything else going on. And it's just freaking hilarious.
The head bob. The head bob. Yeah, you see it, and you sit there and laugh, and you're waiting for, you know, their head to smack something, and then they wake up.
Okay, you see it on the screen? Right?
Yeah.
Is it on the screen?
Yeah.
That's Rudy, isn't it?
Looks like it. See, now you get strapped into those harness, you can actually.
Yeah, he's in a 5-point harness. Bolacho, he's just. Yeah, that's Rudy.
I don't know. I don't think
or Rudy. Or Metro. It's one of the two.
It's. I don't know that Rudy had green gloves. I think he had tan gloves. There you go. Mike videotaping somebody else.
Someone else sleeping. But I came across that. I was laughing so hard. I'm like, oh, my God, that's hilarious. Cause we all did it. You know? I just happened to have a video camcorder that day in the back.
And bored. And he couldn't go to sleep. So it's like, well, let me screw with somebody else.
That was Johnson and I.
Here's an email. Interesting listening to you guys reminisce and how quick your brains skewed from one very, very happy event to a series of unhappy events. It's weird how that works. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's all kind of chunked together. And I don't know how that popped into my head, but you heard about it and it was awful. You know, it was awful.
But you, and then you go to this. I mean, are you watching my screen right now?
Yeah.
Then you go to this kind of happy stuff.
A puppy. I was talking.
You know, some little white Labrador puppy comes running out of the weeds, and you're like,
hey, you know, come here, puppy.
Setting up a, yeah, come here, puppy. And then here's Big Dave. We're talking to some dude.
Looking cool with his cool guy sunglasses on.
Always take off your sunglasses, Dave, when you're talking to somebody, because, you know, he always had that look like,
Not even listen to what the guy said. He's like, you know, he would always go out there and eat the food, and he'd always come back with the runs, and he probably had the runs in. He's probably looking at the interpreter saying, look, just cut this thing off because I'm about to shit my pants right now. Because he would always eat the food because that's the kind of guy that he is. I was telling the story.
And I didn't expect you to eat it.
I was telling the story about what was it? I forgot. It must have been a lie. It wasn't a lie. It was funny. Marines, man. These are awesome pictures. It's just life, right?
Yeah, this was 3/5.
2006?
Yeah, 2006. And if I go, you know, so I like I said, I went through these and I was
I know. Patrick and I went out last night to get something to eat, and I don't know what we were. Yeah.
That was the day of the invasion into Fallujah when we hit the JDAM across the tracks to start it off. And then this is the apartments.
You know, it's amazing. You look at the Humvees. They're not up armored. They're so bullshit compared to the equipment we have now. That's a terrain model, man. That's not.
That was before the invasion. That's the terrain model just before the invasion.
That's nice.
That was rehearsed.
Yeah. But I was telling Patrick about the fruit bat. I don't know how we got to talking. Oh, he told me a story about some Marines up in 29 Palms having an incident with an animal or something like that. And so I said, you know who's got the funniest animal stories, man? I said, Musselman tells the funniest story about the fruit bat. And he says, fruit bat? I said, look it up. It looks like one of those monkeys.
Werewolf. Wait.
It looks like one of those monkeys on The Wizard of Oz, but it's like an actual, like, monkey with black leather vinyl wings. It's disgusting.
With a wolf head, yeah.
And so he bumps into it at night in the Philippines, Lance Corporal Musselman. He said he's telling the story, and he said he started screaming like a bitch.
Yeah.
And I said, and we got on that after talking about Afghan bear dogs, and we were laughing talking about the stupid shit that Marines do with animals and how it never seems to go exactly right, and how everybody else just lays on the ground and laughs their ass off. But no, the fruit bat story is hilarious. And if you've never seen a fruit bat, go ahead and look it up. But you'll have nightmares. I'm warning you right now. And I'd never even heard of it when Mike started telling the story. Because we started off with Afghan bear dogs. And we're like, yeah. Mike was like, yeah, look. And then he says, but that's not the scariest. That's not the scariest animal I've ever come in contact with.
Yeah, like I said, man, coming across these pictures again. This is like the Battle of Fallujah, you know, just like snapshots. This is where JP died, JP Blacksmith. And then, you know, you're going through this, and I mean, just the devastation.
And that's,
you know, then
that's,
you get,
that's before it was devastated too. Now, I mean,
yeah. So then, you know, I would take pictures of just odd things. So here's, right. Here we are. I mean, that's all geared. Everybody's geared up, you know, and sometimes the enemy is just on the other side of the wall. We just didn't know it.
Yeah. If you've never seen pictures of Fallujah, I mean, just about every home has walls around it.
Yeah. So here's some tankers. We were talking.
Do you know Tanker? He's a company commander there named Chris Myers.
No, look at him shaving his head.
Myers tells a story. He dismounts from his tank. He's tank company commander in Fallujah, and he wants to go talk to the company commander on the ground to make sure that his guys are wired in with their guys. And he said, I dismount my tank, and as I take three steps, a guy walks out of an alleyway with a Kalashnikov and points it at me and another Marine. We took off running, and he shot 20 rounds, and he missed with every one of them. He said, yeah, I didn't get out of that tank too many more times, but he said, yeah. He said, we hopped down, and I just, you know, he said, you hit the ground, you kind of, you know, bounce and shake yourself, you look around, and this dude steps out of an alley. It was like, oh, shit. And I said, what'd you do? He said, we took off running. We took off running. And he said he missed with every round. And he said, it's amazing. It's amazing. God did not want to see you that day.
That's Shantosh. That's India Company.
India Company 3-5.
Yeah. That's Shantosh, Brian there.
Brian Shantosh, captain type.
Rex is in there.
Navy Cross recipient.
Yeah, that's Rex McIntosh right there. There's Sven Jensen. There were the lieutenants.
All right. We're not sharing these pictures with everybody else, so we can't walk down memory lane right now. You got anything else going on today?
Just a couple things I got to do.
Like?
I got to go pick up some stuff and some stuff around the house.
All right. Well, look, if I don't talk to you, have a great Thanksgiving, man.
Yeah, you too.
All right. And then I'll talk to you on Monday. Hey, Monday. I think that right after the first of the year, we'll be in North Carolina.
Okay. And it's got to be. We got to do it like the middle of January. I'm getting my surgery done.
Yeah, no, it would be during there back in the saddle training.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, bud. Happy Thanksgiving, Mike.
You too.
There you have it. Michael Musselman, he and I have spent Thanksgiving together. He and I have spent Thanksgiving together how many times? Twice overseas. So, yeah, he's a good guy. He wasn't there at the one time, but we had fun. Yeah, there's special kind of times when you're together with your friends and you're not at home. Obviously unique situations. So you look back on them with fondness. But, again, you don't have to, as you kind of saw, you don't have to think about it very often to remember the things that happened in the immediate aftermath that were really unpleasant. And, you know, and still to this day make you sad when you think about it. So to everybody, happy Thanksgiving. Make sure you take the time to Remember what you're thankful for in life. Make sure you let the people know that are important to you. Make sure you tell them Happy Thanksgiving. And I would be remiss. You know, somebody sent me an email, Mac, what are you thankful for? The opportunity to do this. You know, of course, the health of my family. In particular, my kids, that they're all healthy and doing good in life. So I think it's the best thing you do in your life. And so it's great to see them growing up and doing great things and being good people. So, I mean, and then right behind it, though, is doing something with your life that is positive, that continues to touch people. And so hopefully All Marine Radio will continue to do that. So that's what I'm most thankful for. So on this Thursday, have a great weekend. Hope it's full of food and laughter and love. On a Wednesday, Happy Thanksgiving. All Marine Radio, over and out.